Following program is intended for mature audiences.
Good evening, this is Sal Manila with the Veritas News. Today, more than 10 million Californians participated in what event organizers say is the largest earthquake drill ever. The annual event known as the Great California Shakeout was held at 10:15 a.m. as people throughout the state participated in simultaneous earthquake drills, practicing safety and learning ways to prepare in the event of a major earthquake or an unexpected visit to the Golden State by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. His last visit there caused a tsunami. Christie, a proponent of earthquake-inducing fracking in his state, criticized California using his obesity as a reason to prepare for disaster. California Democrats countered his critique, calling Christie's corrupt alliance with the fracking and oil industry the infamous New Jersey shakedown. Maker, Republican orangutan and candidate Donald Trump said that California Democrats and Chris Christie should stop their bickering and name calling because of their common ground. When asked what that common ground was, Trump said, since California's shakeout was practiced for a possible disaster, and New Jersey's shakedown removes obstacles for fracking, both involve drills. Suspected of murdering his ex-girlfriend, James Martin Horn Jr., 48, is wanted by authorities for keeping his ex, Sandra K. Sutton, captive in a wooden box for months in western Missouri. In his defense, friends of Horn say his keeping his girlfriend in a box was humane because it saved her from having to experience western Missouri. Horn, traveling west from Missouri with Sandra in the box, almost got away with the crime until USDA officials in California forced him to open the box, suspecting inhumane confinement of free-range chickens. While he was immediately arrested on suspicion of murder, he was released on all possible USDA charges, since no chickens meant no foul play. This has been Sal Manila with Veritas News. Now here's Tom Savino with Savino Veritas.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Good evening, everyone. Tom Savino here. It's Savino Veritas. The fine wine of select stripes in Wine the Truth. Live from Burbank, California, land of make-believe and fantasy, I want to apologize for missing the show last week with technical difficulties, and I want to thank our scheduled guest of last week, Luis Manero, who was going to talk about and will talk about out-of-the-body experiences at a future date. I thank you for his flexibility, and I thank you for your flexibility. Sorry we missed the show, but we are here tonight, live from Lion's Den Studios in Burbank, California, where we have, where we are not foolproof, where we are not soundproof, and where we are 90 proof. So let's get with the show.
At cars when they were young. All right, there were a few honest people. Everybody did it, but you know, because it was so much fun. Because you know those old people, they would sometimes get angry, and they would stop the car, and they would get out, and they would chase you, and we would run slowly to encourage them, and then when they were nearby, we were gone like a flash. But you know, sometimes the police would come. Always in unmarked cars, and they'd be chasing us across the field, and they would think they had trapped us. There were these tall fences. They were about 10 feet tall. They had no idea how adept we were at getting over those fences. I mean, full speed ahead, never break stride, leap high into the fence, allow the momentum of your feet to swing you over the top, drop down on the other side all in one motion, and laugh at them because they couldn't do that. Now, that was back in the days before they would shoot you. And then, I'm just kidding. You know they wouldn't do that.
You can follow me, and please do follow me on Twitter at TJ Savino. Twitter, TJ Savino at Twitter. And just before we heard that little tweet advertisement, we heard Ben Carson, Republican candidate for President of the United States. And that, to me, was the most honest I've ever heard him speak. I thought that was pretty truthful and honest and genuine until the end of his comment. And there is the rub, as they say. When he said that was before the time they used to shoot you, meaning the cops shooting black people, and he realized that that was inappropriate to say to his base, to suggest that there is such a thing as such a degree of racism in this country that that would happen. And we all know it does. We all have the statistics. We all see the videos. We all see the phone pictures, we all see the phone videos, we see on the spot as it's happening, evidence over and over this past year, the year and a half, over and over we've seen this. Ben Carson does know this happens, but because he is a candidate for a particular party that does not like to say the truth, but opts to rile people, he had to chuckle at the end and say, oh, we know that's not true. We know that's not true. But it is true. You're listening to me, Tom Savino, Savino Veritas, in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes. And it's been an interesting week for this Savino Veritas guy here. I don't recommend getting old, everybody. I really don't recommend. If you could avoid it, I would strongly suggest you avoid it. Everybody always says to me, yes, but what's the alternative? Well, okay, I know what the alternative is, and I guess given the choice, I will opt for getting old. But it's really, sometimes it's pretty hard to deal with as things happen all at once. This past week, I experienced a prolonged bout of vertigo, which happily is, for the first day, this is the 10th day I've had it, and in the last few hours, I felt almost normal in that regard, and I'm thankful for that, so I'm hoping this is passing. Vertigo sucks. If you've ever had it, you know what it's all about. And if it's on for a prolonged period of time, it's really, really hard to deal with. And coincidentally, and it seems coincidentally, because my doctors say that doesn't seem to be a connection, but I, during the, maybe 3 days after the beginning of my vertigo, I started experiencing flashes of light, and then after a few days of flashes of life, that's interesting. There's a book. Frank Atolo, if you're listening, that's one of your books that you put on your list, Flashes of Life. But you start seeing flashes of light, and then 3 days into that, I started seeing floaters. Floaters are, many people experience floaters, and you don't have to be old to experience floaters. And that is something in your visual field that floats. If you try to look at it, it becomes part of your vision, field of vision, and you try to look at it, moves away quickly, almost like it's an atom being observed. We'll get to that some in a few weeks. By the way, Dr. Waldor will be here with Mr. Skylar Hall, and we're very happy to have them on October the 29th, and we'll be talking about Mars, of all things. But I was just thinking about atoms being observed and how they don't behave the same way when they're observed, and floaters are kind of like that, because it's like, what is this thing that I'm seeing in my eye? And then when you try to look at it, it zooms away into another corner of your eye, still in your field of vision. But anyway, to make a long story short, I was told by my optometrist to immediately see an ophthalmologist, because having these two symptoms together is a bad sign. And as it turns out, the bad sign was yield right of way. No, the bad sign, I did find an emergency ophthalmologist, and that ophthalmologist told me that I have posterior vitreous detachment, PVD. I love how these things get these initials, you know, and PVD, PMS, So I have a PVD, which is a precursor to retinal detachment, which is very bad. So it's the good news is I don't have retinal detachment. The bad news is I have PVD. It's very strange, this PVD thing. So I'll tell you a little bit about it. Apparently, in our eyeball is a gel-like substance, not the shell, but the liquidy stuff in an egg. It's of that ilk. And if you mix an egg and ilk, you can make a quake or something. But if you in your eyeball, there's a viscous gel-like substance called vitreous, and as we age, and there we go again with the age thing, but as we age, that gets thinner, and as it thins, it pulls away from the side of your eyeball. And I was told by the ophthalmologist that eventually the entire vitreous of each eyeball will be pulled away from the wall of the eyeball. And that's okay as long as the retina is not detached. I didn't ask, and I'm thinking now as I'm saying this, Once the entire glob of vitreous is detached from your eyeball, how does it, what does it do? I mean, it just sits there? I guess it just sits there. So, but it, you know, leads me to the question of, well, why does it have to be connected to the wall anyway? But anyway, so, yes, the eyeballs are very, very interesting things. The anatomy is a very interesting thing. So I had these two things together, that is this posterior vitreal detachment and vertigo, and I went to the urgent care because in addition to that, I fell out of bed because I forgot I had vertigo. I was sleeping. When I'm sleeping, fortunately, I don't experience vertigo. I don't experience the world spinning. And I woke up and forgot about that and proceeded to try to get out of bed and landed on my ass. That's a posterior. That was a posterior attachment. That was a posterior attachment to the floor. Fortunately, I was not injured, but was told to immediately go to urgent care, which I did, and I now have tests coming up like the SAT, and I have MRIs and MRAs coming up tomorrow. So isn't that great to look forward to? And we'll see what that's all about. I was worried and feeling not too good up until, as I said, a few hours ago, which is glad that I am feeling better. I hope you're all feeling well. Let me know how you're feeling, please. You could do that if you follow me on Twitter at TJ Savino, or you can write at length to TJ Savino 22, TJ Savino 22 at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Please, please let me hear from you. And I want, once again, I do want to thank our guest of last week who was ready to go and talk about out of the body experiences. And his name is Luis Minero, and he will, thankfully, be with us again in the next month or so, within the next month. And as I did mention earlier in this rant here, that Dr. Waldar finally is going to be a part of the show. And I want to thank Dr. Waldar and Skylar Hall. Skylar Hall, by the way, has a show that's heard right here on SRN1 on Wednesday evenings. At, I forgot what time, and I'm sorry, it's a two-hour show called Hotspot Radio, I believe it's Hotspot Radio, so if you go to the SRN1 website, you can look up Hotspot Radio, and I listened to that show last week, it was very entertaining, very enjoyable, and I thank you guys for promoting my show with your little audio promotion, I appreciate that, and I look forward to you guys being on our show. Next week here on Savino Veritas, we will be having Kay Bransford. Kay Bransford, who wrote the book MyBank.com. MemoryBank. MemoryBank, and it's M-E-M, it's memory, M-E-M-O-R-Y, excuse me, M-E-M-O-R-Y, Bank, B-A-N-C, no K. She's, her name is Kay. She's the K in the bank that she took away, but the name of her company, the name of her book is Memory Bank with no K at the end, .com. She has a book that you can get on Amazon.com, and she'll be with us next week talking about organizing your documents and all of the organizing your affairs, not in the sense of Wilt Chamberlain. I wonder if Wilt Chamberlain had an affair organizer. But organizing the affairs of your life so that your survivors won't suffer beyond the grief they're already feeling for leaving the earthly realm. So if you organize things for them, and she's going to have some very practical things to say about that next week, right here on Savino Veritas. So that would be Kay Bransford of MemoryBank.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards, with a V for victory.
Sweet Shepherd by Frank Tola was one of the hottest modern romances. is being read today.
It's a digital book you can buy in all formats and read on any device for only $2.99 from Amazon.com.
Sweet Shepherd is a classic tale of the ages about love and careers, legends and lifestyles, life and death.
A touching book that will make you weep. Cotolo never disappoints with his unique view of the world and his mastery of nuances of the English language. Right, reviewers?
Subscribers of Kindle Unlimited can get Sweet Shepherd free while exploring over 800,000 digital titles and audiobooks on any device for only $9.99 a month.
One way or another, order and read the new millennium's heat-warming novella, Sweet Shepherd, by Frank Attulo.
Get it now.
So that was an advertisement for Sweet Shepherd, a heat-warming novella. Did she mean that? I have to ask Frank Attulo, who is the godfather of internet radio, who was on before us with Cotolo Chronicles. The reason I ask that is because I know that Sweet Shepherd is set in Africa, which is certainly hot. So maybe they didn't mean heat warming, but I think Frank Cotolo and the writers of that spot probably meant heartwarming. And it is Cotolo, not Cthulhu. But let's get off that subject, because we've beaten that to death already with that. I recommend you read that book, Sweet Shepherd, by Frank Cotolo. Now, we're hoping this is, I hope this is airing, I think it is, because we had, as I said, some last-minute technical difficulties last week, which prevented us from connecting with SRN1 and connecting with the universe or the internet universe. But here we are now, and I hope you are listening. And by the way, you can listen you're listening now, but if you can't listen now, or if you love it so much, you can listen again 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com, JUICED. Talk, TALKJUICED, talk.com, juicetalk.com. You can hear every single episode of Sovino Veritas, Cotolo Chronicles, Velvet Steel's Transistor, and, of course, Up All Night with Dee and Anne Marie, which I really recommend that show. It's a very entertaining show. And there's another show. Oh, yeah, the Artist Dee Show. All of those shows can be heard 24/7 on Too Cool for School Juice Talk. Now, don't look up Too Cool for School, because that's not on the name of it is juicedtalk.com. We're going to have, at some point today, tonight's episode, a new guest. Of you're all familiar, of course, with Sal Manila, who is our news anchor. And we're going to have another regular or semi-regular on the show, Swami Salami. Swami Salami will be here giving us some words of wisdom. And I'm not sure when that will be happening, but it will be happening sometime during this show. But let's go to Seth Myers right now. I'm going to break away to Seth Myers and listen to some important and interesting things he has to say about the political scene these days.
Republicans have been calling on Congress to defund Planned Parenthood, despite the fact that Planned Parenthood doesn't receive federal dollars for abortion services. And yesterday, congressional Republicans held a hearing where they questioned the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, which brings us to a segment we like to call A Closer Look. It's important to know what this is about. Heavily edited tapes secretly recorded by an anti-abortion group of Planned Parenthood officials allegedly discussing the sale of fetal tissue. So how much of an impact has the controversy had on Planned Parenthood's popularity? Well, according to a new NBC poll, Planned Parenthood is the most popular political entity in the country. Polling above Barack Obama, the Republican Party, and even Donald Trump, a man who literally gives away free stuff at his campaign events. Say what you will about his politics, but free hats. Some Republicans Republican candidates have been criticized for exaggerating scenes in the videos and in some cases describing scenes that literally do not exist. One of those candidates, Carly Fiorina, was confronted about her claim to that effect this weekend.
There is no evidence that the scene you described exists. Are you willing now to concede that you exaggerated that scene?
No, not at all.
The footage you described, at best, is a reenactment. The people that made the videos admit it's stock footage, yet you went right along and said it's Planned Parenthood.
Check.
Why does she keep saying his name? Does she think if she says it enough, he'll disappear? Is she trying to reverse Beetlejuice, Chuck Todd? Chuckle Juice. Tuesday's hearing was run by committee chairman Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz from Utah, who made sure members of Congress used their times to ask Cecile Richards questions they then wouldn't let her answer.
You're going to have to bear with me a minute so I can be responsive. I know you only have a little bit of time.
So if you can just respond as quickly as possible.
It was really the situation that she was in, and I believe that.
But Ms. Richards, that's not what you said.
We don't own anything in those countries.
I have to keep going.
Chaffetz needed to keep things going because he wanted as much time as possible for the most important part of any congressional hearing, a super confusing slide.
I need to show this last slide. This one I don't understand.
Created this slide. I have no idea what it is.
Well, it's the reduction over the course of years in pink. That's the reduction in the breast exams. And the red is the increase in the abortions. I pulled those numbers directly out of your corporate reports.
Oh, my lawyer's informing me that the source of this is actually Americans United for Life, which is an anti-abortion group. So I would check your source.
Then we will get to the bottom of the truth.
The only way you could have known who produced this slide would have been to look at the bottom of it. Look at the bottom of the chart of that. I would say David did as well with his slide as the following people did with theirs. Also, let's take a closer... I thought he was going to make it too. Let's take a closer look at this graph. There's a bigger number on the bottom and on the top. Also, you can't have 2 million here and 300,000 there. You can't even start with no y-axis. Why? Because they don't believe in funding for affordable health care. Many Democrats felt Richards was treated unfairly during the hearing, so Texas Congressman John Duncan used his opening comment to respond.
I've seen many male witnesses treated much tougher than you've been treated here today. Surely you don't expect us to be easier on you because you're a woman.
And in case you can't tell, Cecile Richards is making the face of a woman who expected that she wouldn't have to answer a question that stupid at a congressional hearing. To compare Planned Parenthood to organizations that receive less federal funding, ignoring Richard's argument that all the federal funding received by Planned Parenthood is reimbursement for services rendered.
There are 2.3 million private charitable organizations. Almost all of them receive no federal funds, but do you know how many receive 41% of their funding from the taxpayers?
We don't get a big check from the federal government. We actually are reimbursed for services delivered.
Just to give you an example, the National Boys and Girls Club in their last annual report said they received $26 million from the federal government compared to your $528 million. It seems a little bit lopsided.
So I guess what he's saying is if you're a woman who needs medical attention, stop on by the Boys and Girls Club of America, now providing STD testing. Would it disappear tomorrow, many of the same services could be obtained from other health clinics. But in doing so, he accidentally revealed the fundamental problem with this entire debate.
Usually in those cities, as a guy, I could go to many clinics locally that have all the machines that one would need.
Of all the days and all the hearings, this was not the one to start an argument with as a guy. Not to brag,
but in my entire life, I've not needed a single mammogram. It's a frivolous waste of money.
But this perfectly captures why this hearing was ridiculous. You're a guy. Women have their own specific health needs, and Planned Parenthood provides those services. Isn't there at least one Republican, even one, that's against abortions, who could concede that Planned Parenthood serves a purpose?
Let's say there's two Planned Parenthoods in a way. You have it as an abortion clinic. Now, that's actually a fairly small part of what they do. We have to help women. A lot of women are helped, so we have to look at the positives also for Planned Parenthood. I've had many Republican conservative women come up and say Planned Parenthood serves a good function other than that one aspect.
Well, 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 Donald Trump. We're going to move you one spot ahead of the Republican Party. There you go. This has been A Closer Look.
Tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Restaurant?
I'm tired of people dying around me. I didn't expect my Ebola spaghetti commercial to come on. But that was Donald Trump said some interesting things there and some accurate things and interesting things. So he is capable of that at times, and he did it at that time. Earlier in that cut with Seth Meyers was the congressman from Utah, and I do forget his name. I think I'm trying to forget his name, and I'm succeeding. But he is quite an asshole. This is Savino Veritas, so we speak the truth. He's quite an asshole. The chart that he showed that Seth Meyers was joking about. First of all, he could have looked at the bottom of that chart that he was showing at the congressional hearings that he had in front of the United States and the world. He could have looked at that chart that he was projecting in his PowerPoint and he could have looked and cited the document itself at the bottom for what the source was. All he had to do is look at it, and he didn't. And as it was noted, the source was not Planned Parenthood, but an anti-abortion organization. More importantly, that asshole congressman from Utah, whose name I am trying to successfully forgetting, may be in line for the speakership of the House. Well, of course, we have John Boehner, who's retiring at the end of this month. And we've had the California Kevin, McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy from California, here in California, who openly admitted on television that the many separate committee hearings on Benghazi was solely for the purpose of discrediting Hillary Clinton and lowering her numbers. So he was successful. He was successful in lowering her popularity numbers. And he is a successful liar and cheat, and whether he knows it or not, and I don't think he does. I think, like so many of these people that we've seen over the last few years, these Tea Party stooges, doesn't even know he's successfully the stupidest, foolish, most foolish, lame brain person who could, you know, should not be in an elected office. However, on the bright sides, somebody convinced him, or maybe even himself. And if he himself convinced himself that he is not suited to be the Speaker of the House, well, that's a point for him. And, you know, so a little notch towards not being quite an asshole and quite so stupid. So we are rid of him, but we might get the likes of that Utah congressman as the Speaker of the House. We will see about that. We'll see what happens with that as we move along. Now I'm getting a little hungry, so let's hear some food commercials.
Are you tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant? Well, worry no more.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards with a V for victory.
It's the Fabulous Gay Show.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Up All Night.
Good evening, Andrews.
Hey, Steve. How are you, man?
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
The Vino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne-Marie from Up All Night on Pop Culture Radio.
Do you have any wine, Anne-Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
That was D, the artist D, and Anne Marie, who can be heard each Saturday live at 5:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays on 4 Culture Radio, and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, JuicedTalk.com. You can hear Up All Night with Anne Marie and D. Show, you can hear Cthulhu Chronicles, you can hear Velvet Steel Transistor, and this show, Savino Veritas. Well, we are here in Burbank, California, land of make-believe and fantasy, coming to you live, and Lion's Den Studios. We are not soundproof. We are not foolproof. We are 90 proof. And I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. So let's hear on that subject Mike Huckabee and what he has to say about Kim. You remember Kim. Kim. Let's listen.
It seems to clearly state that if you're working for Caesar, you work for Caesar. But if you want to preach for God, preach for God.
Well, there's really no conflict in this case because Kim Davis was elected under a Caesar that was very explicitly clear. The Kentucky Constitution said by 75% of the people that marriage was one man, one woman. That's the law she was elected under. That's the law she served under. It's the law she took an oath under.
Right.
The Supreme Court, if you believe, and you and I do disagree on this, that the court can make law, I think when you were in Congress, you were a part of the body that can make law. I don't think the court could. But that's a whole different discussion. But let's assume for a moment that the law has changed. The big question is, did the judge overreach and do exactly what I've been warning about, which is judicial tyranny, by putting this woman in jail rather than trying to figure out a way to give her some accommodation so that she didn't have to affix her name to a marriage license to which she objected because of her Christian conviction?
And she's willing to work other jobs that keeps her away from having to do that?
Well, why can't she be the county clerk? Why can't the licenses be issued under the name of the state? If the governor of the state is so determined to make sure that they have same-sex marriage in a state where their people rejected it, and he wants to go against his own people and surrender to judicial tyranny and say that the court is some body he has to completely obey, even if there is no legislation to really empower that, then he can make that happen. And he doesn't even have to call a special session.
Yeah.
I mean, once we're into this place of every branch kind of doing what it wants to do, I guess the executive branch can do the same.
I guess a lot of people sort of, I want to be very careful here, but Governor, you know, for example, Pope Francis just made some moves to forgive divorce about annulment recently in the news. And so from that angle, what if Kim Davis wanted to get a third or a fourth marriage license from somebody who truly believes that you should only get married once? What would you say
Kim
to that?
Davis is, well, she's actually been married four times.
That's my point.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Mika. Maybe you don't know is that she has been married four times. She's a person who says, I lived a very different life. I lived a life of sin. And 4 years ago, Kim Davis came to Christ. She really had a powerful experience because her dying mother-in-law asked her to go to church. She did. She found forgiveness. And the reason that she is so steadfast and unwavering in her faith is because she knows what God's grace means. She's experienced it. And as a result, she says, I can't ever go back and live that life again, and the God who forgave me compels me to follow my faith.
But Governor, I certainly don't want to get into a theological debate with a preacher.
Oh, come on, let's do it.
But I spent enough time in a Southern Baptist church to know, like, most of the red letters in the Gospels. And you and I both know, and I say this as a divorced man, Jesus focused a lot more on divorce, focused a lot more on lust, focused a lot more on the poor, focused a lot more on clothing the naked, visiting people in jail, taking care of the hopeless, than he did on homosexuality. In fact, he never mentioned homosexuality. So I think, to Mika's point, do we really want people in positions of authority saying, because you could read the text of the gospel and what Jesus Christ said, and there's a lot more condemnation for people like myself who have been divorced than there is condemnation for people that participate in a gay lifestyle.
Well, let me challenge the idea that he never spoke about marriage, because he did. Homosexual marriage was not an issue in the first century. There was no push for same-sex marriage when Jesus was teaching. But what he did say was that a man shall leave his father and mother, and a woman shall leave her home, and the two shall become one flesh. He explicitly outlined what marriage is. So when people say Jesus never talked about same-sex marriage, he did by virtue of talking about what marriage
is. Jesus was much more explicit about divorce, and you could much more easily make an argument that a judge would refuse to grant divorces because Jesus was far more explicit about divorce equaling adultery.
And
so
I think
what would you think if a judge in Arkansas said, I'm not going to divorce these people because Jesus Christ said that divorce is an abomination and it is adultery?
You know, a judge in Chattanooga, in fact, dismissed a divorce case before him because of the Supreme Court case. He said if the Supreme Court doesn't think that the people of Tennessee are smart enough to define when marriage begins and what it is, then obviously the Supreme Court doesn't think they're smart enough to determine when one should end.
I don't want to hear about
and
that,
and so he's
Josh.
Dismissed it.
Mike Huckabee,
why
I want
not?
To hear...
Because that's important.
Because, Mike Huckabee, I asked you a question. Would you support a clerk who would not give Kim Davis a third or a fourth marriage license? You.
I'm not sure if I follow that question,
if
Mika,
a clerk
because...
says, I'm sorry, I don't think you should get married more than once or twice, and you're asking for your third or fourth license...
You're asking
and
a question of a different nature.
Giving...
That's
no,
a different
I'm not.
Nature, Mika.
No,
yes,
I'm not.
It
I'm
is
asking,
because
would you support
there,
that
there's
clerk?
A difference. There's a difference between a marriage between a man and a woman and a marriage between two men or a marriage between two women.
So you
women.
Would support
We're not talking...
A clerk.
No, you, let me answer your question.
I'd love it.
You okay. What we're talking about is whether or not we can redefine marriage, not whether or not that a person can have more than one, because the law clearly says what people can do. They can have a divorce. We have laws for that. We have
laws
for marriage and remarriage.
Now as a gay person. So if you're
well, what law is that, Nika? Can you quote me the statute? Can you quote me the specific statute, or can you tell me and let me know what article of the Constitution that says that same-sex marriage is under the jurisdiction of the federal government?
Well, it's a Supreme Court decision. We've had this
exactly.
same conversation.
We
with
had
Brown
that conversation
Board,
last week
with Roe v. Wade. But
it requires Joe. It requires an agreement on the part of the other branches of government. You can't have okay. just one branch.
So,
Jefferson
so let me ask
said,
you this, and this might clear things up because. Yesterday, I saw a lot of crosses out in the crowd. I heard a lot mm-hmm. of people talking about Jesus, and we're talking to you this morning. And I think you would agree with me. For Jesus, if you read the New Testament and you believe that the New Testament is the literal Word of God, then you will agree with me that Jesus Christ looks upon those who divorce, upon those who lust after women or men, equally as lost as people who engage, let's say, get married and are of the same sex. Would you agree with that proposition under Jesus' teaching? And then I'll get to the second question.
Okay. Well, what I would agree with is that whatever sins we commit, and we all commit them, me, you, we all commit them. The message of the gospel is not to delineate the sins we commit. It's to emphasize the grace of God to forgive those sins and to cleanse us from them. Yes, we commit sins.
Right.
And whether it's the sin of divorce and failing to live up to the covenant of our marriage, whether it's the sin of thinking evil about other people or speaking evil about other people, there's not a person watching us today
exactly.
who is not a sinner. Not a person.
But we've all
the
fallen,
message is
all,
whether or not there's
fallen
forgiveness.
Short of the glory of God. So my question
yes.
to you is, are you here this morning? Were you here yesterday? Were you in Kentucky yesterday talking about your faith, and you were there because of your faith? Or were you there because you think that this is a constitutional abomination? It's two completely different
things. I believe it's a constitutional abomination. But because of my faith, I believe that I have a responsibility to stand with those who are being persecuted, not only for their faith, but for following the law, and especially those who are being beaten up by the heavy hand of the judicial branch of government and put in jail for doing what they believe
then
was
you
right.
You certainly understand that another presidential candidate, using your logic, could stand with a clerk that refused to grant a heterosexual couple their second marriage license because the word of Christ is quite clear when it comes to divorce. That it
well,
is against
God's
perfect
will. The word of the law is quite clear, Joe.
Okay,
the word of the law is...
Well,
here, let me just
law.
Say this. If
then
the
it's
Congress,
about the law.
No.
And I guess what I'm saying is,
yeah.
let's, keep our faith,
Congress,
let's keep our faith out of this. If it's about the law, if it's about Caesar, then let's debate Caesar. But let's not mix up Caesar and Jesus. It's two completely
well, okay.
different things.
Then let's take your position, Joe. If the people's elected representatives in Congress, if they want to come out from their cowardice to address this issue, and they want to pass a law that says same-sex marriage is okay, and the president signs it, then you know what? then we all have to accept that same-sex marriage then is the law of the land. And the same thing would be true in Kentucky. I accept that. I won't like it, but I would accept that maybe I would disobey it, maybe I would pay the penalty for it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, does the court, one branch of government, right, opposed and different from the other two, get to impose that without the actions of the legislature?
Okay, so we had this debate last week. So you're talking about Caesar. Let's go to John Heilman.
Governor Huckabee, let me just ask you and make you offer an analogy and an analogous question. If there were a Muslim court clerk who decided that because Islamic faith says that a non-Muslim can't marry a Muslim, if that clerk denied a marriage license on that basis and invoked his or her religious conscience and was put in jail for then being contempt of court, would you have behaved the same way? Would you have gone down and stood with that person on the same grounds?
If I'm understanding, John, what you're saying is if the law specifically allowed people of different faiths, whether it was a Muslim and a Christian or a Jew and a Muslim, whoever it is, if the law specifically allowed for that and didn't disallow it, then yes, that person should have to provide that marriage license. But the point is, if that hadn't been legislated, if it never had been codified into law, we are people of law, not of politics. When the courts become political, and when the courts begin to be the super legislative body, which is what has happened here, that's a dangerous path on which we're going to lose this great republic. And you guys want to pick out some obscure hypothetical. I'm talking about the reality of when the courts venture into the territory that Jefferson, Adams, Lincoln, Jackson, Hamilton all warned about, and that is it becoming its own body of law, separate from the two other branches of government. That is dangerous to the future of the republic, and it is something to which we should absolutely resist.
Mike Barnicle.
Hey, Governor, one more quick question here on MSNBC Morning Bible Class. And it is this. What do you figure Jesus would say and do if he were in Little Rock, Arkansas this morning about a flood of refugees in Europe coming from Syria and northern Africa? What do you figure he'd say about what the United States ought to be doing, and what would you say?
Well, first of all, I think we need to be providing humanitarian assistance, providing food, helping them to be able to have a shelter. There are many ways in which we can be helpful.
Yes, many ways. Survivors and everything else, so, and things like that. But commenting here on Mike Huckabee, we're all on both sides. All sides are guilty of complaining about the Supreme Court, but what they say goes unless an amendment overrides their sometimes stupidity. Now, I certainly don't think they were wrong or stupid or off the legal mark in their decision about same-sex marriage. That's my opinion. Obviously not Mike Huckabee's opinion. But you can't, I'm just as passionate and upset about the Supreme Court's decision on the Citizens United, which grants corporations the ability to spend as much as they wish to support a candidate or a cause without having to say who they are. This blind money, this shadowy money, is totally legal thanks to the stupid and unwise decision of the Supreme Court called Citizens United. So I am very upset, like Mike Huckabee is upset. That needs to be overturned. We need to have an amendment overturning that. I don't think state laws and separate laws are going to do it in this case. In the short time it's been enacted, it has caused major, major problems. It has turned this country, it has accelerated the drive towards the separation and of the rich and the poor. It has accelerated the drive of inequality in this country, that Supreme Court decision. But let's go back to the gay marriage thing, or the same-sex marriage thing, and Kim Davis, because Huckabee was defending her or using her. In my opinion, he may have honestly been defending her, but he was also using her and her popularity to get points for himself as a presidential candidate. Might I say, very few points, as he will be gone shortly from that list. But I want to, you know, this whole thing about the Pope meeting Kim Davis, I want to read you this quickly before we break for the news in Canada. Pope blindsided by meeting with Kim Davis. Pope blindsided by meeting with Kim Davis by in the know follow, is the person who wrote this, or the entity who wrote this. Many news organizations are now reporting that the papal visit with embattled Rowan, Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis was set up by U.S. Vatican officials. The Pope met with Kim Davis and others, but had no prior knowledge of her situation when meeting with her. Kim Davis's Pope's meeting downplayed by the Vatican. In a statement, the Vatican spokesman, the Reverend Federico Lombardi, said Francis met with, quote, several dozen, end quote, several dozen people at the Vatican embassy in Washington just before leaving for New York. Lombardi said such meetings are par for the course of any Vatican trip and are due to the Pope's kindness and availability, quote, kindness and availability. He said the Pope only really had one, quote, audience in Washington, and that was with former students and his family members. Quote, the Pope did not enter into the details of the situation of Miss Davis, and his meeting with her should not be considered a form of support of her position in all of its particular and complex aspects, end quote, said Lombardi, the Pope's spokesman. Kim Davis and her supporters had portrayed the meeting as one where the Pope sought her out to give her support for her cause. ABC News says, quote, I put my hand out, and he reached and he grabbed it, and I hugged him, and he hugged me, end quote, said Davis. Quote, and he said, thank you for your courage, end quote. I have a theory on what happened. There's a wide separation in the United States Catholic Church. You have officials in power similar in views to former St. Paul Archbishop John Nesbitt, whose singular focus has to get gays out of the Catholic Church. By the way, Archbishop Nesbitt resigned this summer after allegations surfaced he covered up sex abuse within his diocese. Bring in Pope Francis on his United States visit, who emphasizes help for the poor over crusading against gays, and you ruffle some feathers among U.S. Catholic officials. I think some officials took it upon themselves to try to throw cold water on the Pope's visit. That's an interesting comment. But even besides the comment of the Pope being kind of bamboozled or ambushed into this meeting for political reasons to put him in a bad light, the truth is, and this is Savannah Veritas in Why and the truth is the Pope had no idea about the background of Kim Davis. He had no idea he was meeting Kim Davis, the woman who was famous for not granting certificates of marriage for gay people. So that's a bunch of hooey, and Mike Huckabee is a hooey artist. Hooey. And we are here at Savina Veritas, and we are now going to go to Phil Hong. Phil Hong, I hope you're well in Toronto area. And let's hear what is going on over there.
From the SRN Newsroom in Canada,
good evening, Tom. A Vaughan man has been charged with murder in connection to his wife's death. York Region Police say they were called to a home in Thornhill after reports a person had been injured. They say it's a domestic case. Aurora is offering lawn signs to promote road safety. The signs were aimed at local children commuting to and from school after a rise in collisions with pedestrians and pedestrian fatalities. And the town of Caledon has announced their opposition to the Hydro One sale. Council passed a motion citing the importance of a public electricity system to its citizens and the possibility of less oversight if the entity was left in private hands. Chances of showers or flurries, north 7, 8 at Pearson. This update is brought to you by Frank Cotola, 1148.ca. The aim to be perfect, Frank critiques at 148.ca/Frank. I'm Philip Hong from SRN National News. Now back to Tom Savino with Savino Veritas on SRN 1.
Flurries. Wow. Flurries. Of course, that's Canada, and they get their flurries early. But I guess October, today's mid-October. Oh, I learned today that the Ides of March, of course, is a term from the Shakespeare play, Julius Caesar, the Ides of March. Well, it's not, it's a common term that was used in ancient times. But I just assumed that the Ides meant the 15th of any month, but it's not true. There's only four. There's March, May, October. So today is the Ides of October, at least still here on the West Coast. We just did the news from Canada where it is now October 16th. But just minutes ago, it was the Ides of March in Canada, and it still is the Ides of October in Canada, and the Ides of October here on the West Coast. But not all months have Ides, and that for that I don't know why that is, but that was an interesting thing. Speaking of other interesting things, we are going to hear. We talked about the Pope, and we talked about Kim Davis, and we talked about hypocrisy of Mike Huckabee, and the assholeness of the guy from Utah who may be the Speaker of the House. That's it, the Speaker of the House. So, who will be the Speaker of the House? Well, here's a perspective. That's interesting. Maybe we will be lucky and get this.
Who will lead House Republicans? Who is tougher than that traitorous compromiser, John Boehner? Who will stand fast no matter what? In order to stand up and say no, you've got to be hard and tough. That's why we've elected a rock. Speaker Rock won't cut deals with Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi the way John Boehner did. Rocks are not Republicans in name only. Rocks don't compromise. This unwavering Rock will stand up for conservative principles by never moving to the left. Rocks don't think they're smarter than you. Rocks don't care about running a country if that means sacrificing conservative beliefs.
Speaker Rock won't raise a finger to stop a government shutdown and will crash through Planned Parenthood's window without getting a scratch. Speaker Rock, the only choice for a truly conservative Congress.
Just a few minutes ago, Speaker Boehner announced that he will be resigning. Yeah! And with all due respect to people that serve in government, it is important at this moment, with respect to him and the service that he's provided to our country. It's not about him or anybody else, and I'm not here today to bash anyone. But the time has come to turn the page. The time has come to turn the page and allow a new generation of leadership in this country.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards with a V for victory.
So where am I? Where's my voice? Where's the voice of my master? I'm my master. Here it is. This is the voice of my master. So that scene that we heard at the I know it's a couple of weeks ago, but anyway, those were Republicans cheering the quitting, the resigning of John Boehner. Republicans. And we Democrats or left-wing people, certainly had our problems with John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, and do. We have our problems with him. Hypocrisy, corruption. These are our problems with him. But for the Republicans in a Republican situation to be ecstatic that one of them, one of the obstructors, is resigning, it's just a remarkable thing. So I'm going to read you this short piece called The Dark Truth of John Boehner's Resignation. Now, this is something that should not slip by lightly. The video above is of a room full, that's the audio that we just heard, is of a room full of Republican voters interrupting the speech of a Republican senator and presidential candidate with a standing ovation at the news that the Republican House Speaker has been forced to resign. It is hard to watch this outburst of joy, this outburst of joyful anger or angry joy, without wondering, what in the world is going on with the Republican Party? Why would news of the humiliating resignation of John Boehner spark an immediate Republican celebration? Mr. Boehner certainly was unpopular with his own Republican voters. The day of his resignation, a WSJ NBC poll found that, quote, some 72% of Republican primary voters said they were dissatisfied with the ability of Mr. Boehner and GOP Senate leader Mitch McConnell to achieve Republican goals. But that phrase, failure, quote, to achieve Republican goals, end quote, is remarkable. As a very good abbreviated pundit roundup details today, John Boehner and the Republicans overall never had the votes to impose Republican policies. As Philip Bum notes, the only compromises Bonner made, quote, have been between reality and fantasy, end quote. Indeed, it is notable that when conservative writer Eric Erickson writes a column titled, quote, Why John Boehner Had to Go, end quote, he can't actually name or describe anything Bonner did wrong, only arguing vaguely and nonsensically that Bonner somehow held his own Republican Party, quote, in contempt, end quote. When forced to explain this supposed contempt, Numerous Republicans, even presidential candidates, list not only Bonner's non-existent failure to stop Obamacare, but also his supposed enabling of Obamacare. As Mike Huckabee explained, quote, when people sent Republicans here, they didn't send them to give the president more power on Obamacare, end quote. Think about that. After total legislative obstruction, a government shutdown, more than 50 votes to repeal Obamacare, an ensuing presidential election, two Supreme Court lawsuits, and other pending litigation, Republicans are livid with the belief that John Boehner has worked with the president to strengthen Obamacare. No sane political observer could think that. So what gives? As Jonathan Chait explains, we are witnessing a sort of collective Republican denial where they cannot accept that they are not the ruling party, not the, quote, deciders, to use a former president's phrase. To understand the pressures that brought about John Boehner's demise as an ideological split badly misconstrues the situation. The small band of right-wing noisemakers in the House who made Bonner's existence a living hell could not identify any important substantive disagreements with the object of their wrath. The source of the disagreement was tactical, not philosophical. Boehner's tormentors refused to accept the limits of his political power. The discontent runs much deeper and wider than Boehner. Boehner had the misfortune of leading or attempting to lead his party in an era when it had run up to the limits of crazy, where the only unexplored frontiers of extremism lay beyond the reach of its constitutional powers. What is important here is not that Republicans object to the limits of their power, but that Republicans apparently cannot accept that such limits even exist. Greg Sargent recently caught this in a very revealing Fox so-called news poll. I call Fox News Fox so-called news. Republicans fail to block Obama's transformation of the country. That must be because they didn't even try, so they must be complicit. But this failure, too, is structural. Republicans don't have the votes to surmount Democratic filibusters or Obama vetoes. The idea that this can be overcome through sheer force of will, the argument conservatives are making in favor of another shutdown fight, is just another version of the big lie. Indeed, the Fox News poll unwittingly captures what is particularly problematic about the last one. It finds that 60% of Republicans feel betrayed by their party, and that 66% of Republicans don't think their party did all it could to block Obama's agenda. The poll asks why respondents think their party leaders failed at this. They didn't really want to stop Obama. They weren't smart enough. They would rather fight each other. Those were the reasons given. The Fox poll doesn't even offer respondents the option of choosing the real reason, and the real reason that Republicans structurally lack the votes. You see? Lack of majority political power is not even a possibility in their minds. When in the video above, Republican supporters jumped from their chairs at news of Bonner's resignation, it is because someone or something defective had to be blocking the Republicans' exercise of their undisputed authority. With Bonner gone, Republicans have something legitimate to celebrate in their minds, the restoration of their thwarted authority. It sounds crazy, I know. But this represents the true dark side of Boehner's resignation. It is another significant step in the Republican Party's shocking withdrawal from our system of democratic governance. Specifically, it presages a doubling down of the Republicans' intentions to assert, quote, negative control, end quote, were government shutdowns, hostage-taking, and the immensely dangerous debt-ceiling fights threatened to become more determinative than electoral outcomes and a functioning government. As one Republican writer put it, the emerging Republican belief is that threats of government destruction combined with the inherent rightness of Republican beliefs, quote, could be so strong, as Ted Cruz was of his proposal to defund Obamacare, that Senate Democrats, the Obama White House, and the mainstream media would, for once, finally this time, cave in and let the House Republicans have their way. And the use of the words, quote, for once, finally, end quote, means appropriately, consistent with the, quote, true distribution of power, because this is what they think in their minds. They, even though they don't have the power, they think they have the power. And if anyone doubts that this is where we are increasingly headed, Steve Bannon has a useful summary of the growing history of Republicans hostage governing. And here's some interesting things. April 2011, House Republicans threatened a government shutdown unless Democrats accept GOP demands on spending cuts. July 2011, Republicans create the first ever debt ceiling crisis, threatening to default on the nation's debts unless Democrats accept GOP demands on spending cuts. September 2011, Republicans threatened another shutdown. April 2012, Republicans threatened another shutdown. December 2012, Republicans spend months refusing to negotiate in the lead-up to the so-called fiscal cliff. January 13th, Republicans raise the specter of another debt-ceiling crisis, and September 13th, Republicans threaten another shutdown. October 2013, Republicans actually shut down the government. October 2013. And February 2014, Republicans raised the specter of another debt ceiling crisis. December 2014, Republicans threatened another shutdown. February 2015, Republicans threatened a Department of Homeland Security shutdown. And September 2015, Republicans threatened another shutdown over Planned Parenthood. As John Shade, Greg Sargent, and others note, the forced resignation of John Boehner is another step in the above line of this undemocratic behavior, and not some gossipy, intramural Republican politics. What we have here is one of two major political parties increasingly disengaging from the democratic process. Did you know that President Obama is an illegitimate president because he is not a, quote, natural-born citizen? Or that he won election by promising, quote, free stuff to minorities, that minorities and illegal aliens are engaged in massive voter fraud, or that popular elections of United States senators should be taken away, that some Boehner rule or Hastert rule exists which neuters any Democratic House votes, or that it's okay for Republicans to filibuster every proposed law while in the minority, but the filibuster should be repealed now that Republicans have a Senate majority. Or that the Electoral College should be reformed to provide proportional votes only in blue states. Or that policy outcomes should not be determined by elections, but instead by holding hostage the federal government or the, quote, full faith and credit, quote, of the United States. Most importantly, did you realize that all of the above are necessary to enact the majority will of the people? Because believe it or not, that is what Republicans believe. The conclusion of congressional scholars Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein's has been widely quoted, but not sufficiently absorbed. And here is what they say. One of the two major parties, the Republican Party, has become an insurgent outlier, ideologically extreme, contemptuous of the inherited social and economic policy regime, scornful of compromise, unpersuaded by the conventional understanding of facts, evidence, and science, and dismissive of the legitimacy of its political opposition. Yes, friends, that is the way it is. Choices. to now, and it is fitting. Now, oh, Swami's back. Swami's back? What happened? So, Swami Salami may be back with us next week, and of course, Salmonella. Word has it that Salmonella is dating the Greek celebrity Anaphylaxis, and she may be appearing on the show at some point. And again, I do want to thank those people who were ready and waiting for us, waiting to be on the air last week because of technical difficulties. I hope that everyone is healthy, including me. I think I'm feeling much better as this show has gone on. And I hope you listen to us. Follow me on Twitter if you can. And this is time to sign off, I think.
I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end. By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.
Sweet Shepherd by Frank Coteau is one of the hottest modern romances being read today.
It's a digital book you can buy in all formats and read on any device for only $2.99 from Amazon.com.
Sweet Shepherd is a classic tale of the ages about love and careers, legends and lifestyles, life and death.
A touching book that will make you weep. Coteau never disappoints with his unique view of the world and his mastery of nuances of the English language. Right, reviewers?
Subscribers of Kindle Unlimited can get Sweet Shepherd free while exploring over 800,000 digital titles and audiobooks on any device for only $9.99 a month.
One way or another, order and read the new millennium's heat-warming novella, Sweet Shepherd, by Frank Coteau.
Get it now.
Carrageenan. 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 Carrageenan.